Hi, it's Amy Siskin of The Weekly List and author of the book, The List, and welcome to episode 144 of The Weekly List podcast. This is the 10th episode in a segment called Democracy at Risk. Welcome. I am sad to report that Russia has invaded Ukraine. And in many ways, the construct that we have discussed throughout this project, authoritarianism versus democracy, is playing out in real time. This invasion has the possibility of escalating into World War III. Scary times we live in. And how did we get here? Well, this is something that Putin has had underway for now decades since he took over Russia, gobbling up parts of what was formerly the USSR and getting away with doing so. But more recently, he has been enabled by the Republican Party under Donald Trump, as well as pundits at Fox News. It's been well reported by the U.S. military and been in the news that Putin had been amassing a massive troop buildup along Ukraine. 150,000 troops stood ready to attack before it actually happened. And President Biden and people in his administration were publicly speaking out in the media. To anyone in the world that would listen, they were telling exactly what Putin was doing. I think in part in hopes that it would avoid Putin from going through with it. But I say this in context of some comments I am about to mention in the days before the invasion actually started. Donald Trump, who we know has spent his entire time in office and before he was elected kissing up to Putin, said in a radio interview literally days before the invasion that Putin was a, quote, genius and, quote, savvy. Here's the exact quotes. I went in yesterday and there was a big television screen and I said, this is genius. Putin declares a big portion of the Ukraine independent. Oh, that's wonderful. And then Trump continued. He used the word independent and we're going to go out and we're going to go in and we're going to help keep the peace. You got to say that's pretty savvy. Savvy as another way of saying not true. Disinformation. The same days, Monday before the invasion, 2 days before the invasion, Fox News host Tucker Carlson on his show, again, complimenting Russia and Putin, said he couldn't understand why, quote, the permanent Washington hates him so much, that being Putin, because in Tucker Carlson's view, Putin has never called him a racist and never threatened to get him fired. Mike Pompeo, who served as Secretary of State under Trump in the days before the invasion, said of Vladimir Putin, he is, quote, very shrewd and, quote, very capable. All three men were then used as part of propaganda on Russia's state TV for what was about to unfold. And we know from this project about the close ties and many of the Republicans had and many in Fox News had with Russia, inexplicably, despite the fact that we knew that they had interfered with our election, how effusive they have been in extolling Vladimir Putin. And that led to Putin's big miscalculation. And that miscalculation was that America would be divided when he attacked Ukraine. The pretext of Putin's attack of Ukraine in a speech Wednesday night in Russia was total disinformation. He announced a, quote, special military operation. And he said the, quote, goal is to protect people who have been abused by the, quote, genocide of the Kiev regime for 8 years. And he said, quote, we will strive for the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine. I mean, amazing words. Couldn't be further from the truth. Ukraine is struggling democracy. Its president, Vladimir Zelensky, a grandson of a Holocaust survivor. His grandfather was one of four sons, three of whom died in the Holocaust. And those are the words that Putin was using as he was preparing to invade Ukraine. John Bolton, who served under many Republicans as well as Trump, said this week that he believes the reason that Putin waited this long is he thought if Trump got reelected, that Trump would continue what he had started to do and completely pull America out of NATO. That would be part of the division. That fortunately has not happened. And under the stewardship of President Joe Biden, there has been unity within the world's democracies, a united front against Putin in ways that many would not have expected. I want to add something else that I found shocking when it first happened, because I haven't seen this in years. Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN all have the same narrative on what is happening with Russia invading Ukraine. Fox did not stand with Putin and whitewash his war. They have been pro-Ukraine and anti-Putin and anti-Russia, all three. Now, Fox is still going after Biden and blaming Biden and, you know, the usual, what you would call politics as usual. But they are not backing authoritarianism. And that is really important here. And that is something that, again, it was a miscalculation on Putin's part. Within Russia, I mentioned that they're using the state media to justify this war and using voices. Tucker Carlson continues to be played as a spiel, as well as Trump and Pompeo and others. But Russia has shut out any independent reporting from getting in the country at this point. Any independent networks have been asked to leave or have left for their own safety. Russia's parliament, which is called the Duma, has passed a law that you will get 15 years in jail for going off the script that Putin is saying as justification for his invasion and war. So that's caused, you know, networks that were broadcasting in Russia, like CNN, to also pull out. Putin also has stopped Russia's access to Facebook, Twitter, and other social media outlets where they could get their news. So he has closed off, which happens in dictatorships and authoritarian regimes, he's closed off outside information. In the meantime, his war has not gone as planned, thankfully. In part, again, because the world has united against him, but in larger part because Ukraine stood up to him. Zelensky, although he was given the opportunity to leave Kiev, the main city in Ukraine, chose to stay and fight. And his country has rallied around him. His country of 44 million, at this point where we sit today, 1.7 million refugees have left to become refugees of other countries who are overpouring with Ukrainians. But men of the age of 18 to 60 and many women have stayed, as well as citizens of other countries, including the United States, who have gone. 20,000 citizens have gone into Ukraine to fight what they feel is a good fight against the evil of Vladimir Putin and authoritarianism and trying to take over a sovereign country. When the news first broke of this invasion, the media pundits, as well as many in U.S. intelligence, called this a battle of David versus Goliath, and said that Ukraine would likely fall within 24 to 48 hours, starting with Kiev. That didn't happen. Again, the courageous fighting of Zelensky and the Ukrainian people, many of whom, most of whom were not in the military, who left whatever career fields they were in and are training and learning to fight and fight for every inch, as he puts it, Zelensky, of his country. Zelensky has also won the battle of social media and helped unite the world with him. But Russia's plan, which was to take over an airfield, the major airport outside of Kiev, and use that as a way to fly in their troops, failed. And here we are 12 days later, and Kiev has not fallen. And all of the 150,000 troops that Putin has brought to Ukraine have now been put into service within the Ukrainian borders. There's been massive, thankfully, massive, the Russian army has not been able to carry out its plans. They've had issues with lack of food, fuel shortages. Their army is demoralized. They were brought into the border of Ukraine and told it was a military exercise. And now they're being told to invade a country where many of them have cousins and brothers and family ties. You know, that said, even with the family ties, because of the disinformation campaign in Russia, you read stories of people back home, Russians believing Putin and his impetus for this war. Again, the power of disinformation. The world has stood up to Putin. The United Nations General Assembly voted to reprimand Russia and demand that Putin stop fighting. Of 193 nations, the vote was 141-5. The only five that voted against the reprimand were, of course, Russia and four other brutal dictatorships. Belarus, which is a puppet regime of Putin's, has gone along, and also they are also fighting with him and being used as a staging ground for his battle, as well as North Korea, Syria, and Eritrea, which is known in many ways as the North Korea of Africa. But all the other countries, all the democracies have band together. Companies such as American Express and Visa and MasterCard have stopped service in Russia. The big four accounting firms have pulled out. Coca-Cola has pulled out. Netflix has pulled out. Company after company has either been shamed into by the American public or for their own reasons pulling out of Russia after this invasion. The MOEX, which is the Russian stock exchange, has not been open for a week and a half. Value of Russian stocks that are still trading in other countries is approaching, in many cases, zero. Their economy is faltering. The ruble is at record lows. So the world sanctions are going to have an effect, and there are more coming. As Congress comes back into session finally, hopeful that this week the U.S. will ban imports of Russian oil and demand that they be kicked out of the World Trade Organization. So those kind of things are happening, but America has been very careful not to directly enter this war. We and other countries are providing ammunition and weaponry and anti-missile and anti-tank weapons for Ukraine to use, as are other countries. And now at this point, it has become a humanitarian crisis. Putin's frustration has now turned into what he has done in other countries, which is to fire indiscriminately on civilians, firing on schools, on hospitals, on maternity wards. It's taken over, in addition to Chernobyl that fell early on, a major nuclear plant, one of the biggest in all of Europe, fired upon that plant with the workers screaming for them to stop, but they have taken over that plant. And Putin, as he has been losing this or not winning in the way he thought he would, has threatened nuclear war openly if other countries get involved. Now, other countries are still meeting with Putin, like France, like Israel, trying to mediate. But there are words, and you never know with Putin what he is up to. But before his invasion, he met in France with Prime Minister France Macron and one of his chief aides, sat at a table 50 feet down from Macron. And there's speculation about his mental health, that during COVID, that Putin has been alone largely throughout in hiding with, you know, a few aides around him. But this whole war we are talking about, with 1.7 million people having to flee Ukraine, with, depending on who you listen to, at least 3,000 Russian troops, maybe up to 10,000, according to the Ukraine foreign minister, dead in the first 10 days of battle, with thousands of Ukrainians dead, including civilians and women and children dead. It is all on one man. Who will stop him? His oligarchs are having their assets frozen, their yachts taken away, their business interests stalled. But who will stop this man, and what will be the off-ramp? That is the concern. There are well-documented war crimes. There are already, the United States is gathering evidence. Other countries are gathering evidence of the way that Putin is conducting himself. But Putin is also being very careful to leave open the fact that there could be any trigger at any time to escalate this beyond Ukraine, which is not a member of NATO and is not a member of the European Union yet, into a world war. Notably, what Putin has gradually been doing is trying to reconstruct the Soviet Union and put it back together. And this taking over Ukraine would be another step towards that. But what instead has happened is Ukraine, Georgia, Moldova have asked for membership in the European Union. So the exact opposite of what he's hoped has happened. NATO, which in many ways under when Trump was in office and in recent years had become weaker, has been reinvigorated and stronger than it's been. So the exact opposite of what Putin hoped has happened to happen is actually happening. And there is a meeting later this week for the European Union leadership where they might actually grant Ukraine membership a lot earlier than would be typical because of the ensuing situation that we are talking about here. So the David versus Goliath, David at this point is winning the battle within the world. There are huge protests in the Czech Republic. In Germany and in Berlin, against Russia and what Russia is doing. Even within Russia, there's been thousands of arrests. You have to, give your hat to these people, so courageous. They know they're going to be put in jail for protesting. There are stories of families bringing flowers that are the colors of the Ukrainian flag, yellow and blue, and being arrested for carrying flowers of that color. It's an oppressive regime under Putin. But we stand where we stand here because of this one madman and on the brink of world war. So we don't know where this is going to go next. Again, any match could be lit and burn into, a bigger war, a world war that is drawing in other countries, which at this point are trying not to be drawn in. And we also don't know how this will play out back home. Can you imagine, even when you have Fox News turning on Russia and Putin, how a candidate like Trump, who for the time even before he took office did nothing but praise Putin, do he and Pompeo and Josh Hawley and the eight Republican senators and one member of Congress who went to visit Putin in Russia on July 4th while Trump was in office? Where's the future of this party? But the one thing you do note is that the constructs are democracy versus authoritarianism, and that if there is one positive of this, it is that Putin has made that very clear, even in this country. When you have Fox News siding with Ukraine, you have Fox News siding with democracy and the good fight. I want to just close out with an important observation. We had talked about in this podcast that with coronavirus, that there, has been mask mandates in order to protect people. And the Republicans and the Trump people have used this as a way to say that Biden is authoritarian himself, and also to bring up remnants of Nazism and evoke that to say the masks were similar to Hitler's killing of like it's just nonsense. But notably, that's the exact words and the exact kind of theme that Putin is using as he invades Ukraine. I just wanted to point that out because so much of the disinformation that still flows in social media, where a lot of these plot lines start, are from the Russian trolls and bots and Putin's efforts to keep our country divided. And how his disinformation that he has used for this war that is spreading within Russia, how that same kind of thing happened in this country in the last year and a half around COVID. So just watch those kind of things, the importance of disinformation, the construct of authoritarian versus democracy, as we see this play out. We all pray for the people of Ukraine. They have bipartisan support in our country. At least we are uniting around that, and we are joining with Europe and other countries to support them. But this is an ugly war, and the people there are suffering greatly. And Putin is cutting off their, in the middle of winter or at the end of winter, their food, their heat, their electricity, as a way of punishing their country and trying to take control. They are fighting back, the courageous warriors of Ukraine, and we salute them all. So until next time, stay safe and please stay involved and please show your support for the people of Ukraine. Signing off.